The way we use social media platforms and the platforms themselves are changing. Facebook has had slower than planned growth, and its parent company Meta has seen a more than 60% decrease in value. And Twitter faces an uncertain future after its purchase by Elon Musk. Apps like TikTok and those promoting authenticity like Be Real are gaining popularity, especially among teens. We're taking the pulse of the social media world, and we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Do you go to one or more platforms on a regular basis? Do you like that you go to those platforms, or you just feel kind of hooked on them at this point? Has the way you use social media changed over the years or in recent months? What do you see family members, kids, your seniors using? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, if that's one of the platforms you use. Steve Knoll is marketing instructor at Madison College and a close observer of the social media landscape. Steve, welcome back.
Great. Thanks for having me again, Rob.
There are a zillion moving parts. Steve, what do you have your eye on these days?
Well, other than Twitter, let's not talk about that right now.
Sure.
It has been interesting to see what's going on with Facebook and specifically Meta, as they call themselves. You know, over the pandemic, usage of both Facebook and Instagram went up, including a lot of revenue, because advertisers realized it was a great medium to reach people while they're at home. But now that people have been journeying back out into the world, journeying back out into physical stores, revenue is down for the company. And that's kind of a concerning for them, is coming out of the pandemic, how this is affecting their business model. You know, it's the pandemic really upended everything, but a lot of companies, I think, are going to have to go through an adjustment period as we kind of get back to, you know, what used to be called normal.
When we talk about social media, I mean, Facebook, I'm looking at the chart of the biggest platforms. Facebook is number one, close to 3 billion users worldwide, yep, according to Facebook. You know, it's the biggest game in town. They were looking at maybe incredible growth to go on and on and on forever. They're not getting smaller when it comes to the number of users, but that growth has slowed down pretty significantly, right?
Oh, absolutely. And this is definitely related to post-pandemic consumer habits. You know, online shopping is down. People are enjoying, you know, real-world shopping again. They're not going to stop online shopping. But the idea of scrolling through Facebook and seeing that weird little product that you can order, you know, a lot of that stuff that was so popular over the pandemic has just evaporated. And really now just more traditional advertisers have been kind of left with Facebook, which is still a lot. It's still a giant audience. And you have to remember, the demographic of Facebook tends to be older. We're talking, you know, people 40 plus, 50 plus. And that demographic does have a lot of spending money. So even though, you know, their numbers are down, they're going to be fine. You know, I think this is really just more of an adjustment from the post-pandemic era than any type of, you know, long-term trend that they may be experiencing.
And the parent company of Facebook now, it's called Meta. And yep, part of the deal there is they're creating the virtual reality social media platform of the future. How's that going so far?
It depends on who you ask. So, you know, the big barrier is the hardware. You know, they do have, well, what was originally called the Oculus headset. And if you're into virtual reality, it's a really fun tool, mostly for gaming. But it is a very interesting way to interact with, you know, people from literally all over the world in a kind of pseudo physical environment. They have since renamed it the Meta headset. That's caused some confusion, since Oculus was a pretty good brand name for people who are into all that stuff. But I really think they're playing the long game with this. You know, they're not really looking at a metaverse emerging in the next few years. They're really looking at in the next few decades, as the technology becomes easier to use, lighter, more like putting on a pair of reading glasses than putting on a clunky headset. So I think maybe in 10 years, yeah, I think instead of surfing somebody's Instagram feed, you will more like immerse yourself into someone's Instagram feed. But I still think we're quite a ways away from that actually happening.
Talking to Steve Knoll from Madison College, looking at the ever-changing landscape of social media. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear your experience, your bit of data, if you will. What do you use? What have you stopped using? Have you avoided the whole thing altogether? Has it turned you away for some reason? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Steve, let's jump down the list a little bit to TikTok. Mm-hmm. About a billion users worldwide. That's not nothing. Yep. That's quite a bit. A lot, it seems like a lot of interest among younger people in particular, and people tend to use it for bigger chunks of time, and advertisers, if I understand correctly, kind of like that.
They do. The one thing about TikTok, it's kind of closer to something like YouTube than it is to something like Facebook or Instagram, where it's almost its own entertainment channel as much as it's a social medium. So that's really attractive to advertisers, because the more time that people spend using on something, the more comfortable they are taking that little brief commercial break. So advertisers definitely kind of like how that connects. The one drawback to TikTok is that it does skew very young. It's very much a, you know, teenagers, 20 something dominated group. You know, once you really get past the 25, 30 year old demographic, you know, those numbers are on there, but those users drop significantly in numbers. So it does come back to the advertising thing and what companies really are going after that 20-year-old demographic. You know, that's the one negative on TikTok. It's very popular. It's a lot of time is spent on it, but the number of businesses out there that really could benefit from using it as an advertising tool is fairly narrow. But you have to remember, TikTok has another business model. You know, ultimately, it is, you know, connected to, you know, the Chinese government. They're collecting your user information specifically to show you ads for Chinese made products. You know, TikTok was really built as a way to connect people to Chinese made products. And that's been a very controversial thing about TikTok. And while they've taken, especially the American version of TikTok has taken, you know, a lot of steps to kind of separate that, that still is a big revenue model for TikTok. They're getting money from China just to run the app. So TikTok doesn't really need to be as heavily relied on advertising as the other social medias do.
And that's a wild card. I mean, we see the FBI director testifying before Congress that they have national security concerns about the company's ties with the Chinese government. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher joined up with Senator Marco Rubio saying we need legislation to out and out ban TikTok. I don't know if a ban will happen, but some kind of a new regulation, it seems very likely.
Well, yeah, I think a ban is just not realistic. But yeah, that's the thing is, this app is what's referred to as a data scraper. You know, once you download it onto your phone, when you give it permission to use, nobody ever reads the terms of the user agreement. You know, the app does have access to other things on your phone, you know, photos, other apps, other data. And there's a question as to how much it really gets. Does it get into your bank account? Does it read your emails? You know, all this other stuff. There are a lot of like questions about that have not been answered. So, you know, as much as, you know, I think TikTok in the grand scheme of things is relatively harmless, because really, if they're collecting data on you, it's to pair you up with Chinese made products. It's not necessarily to hack your identity or anything like that. So it's a little malicious, but certainly there are other apps out there that are extremely dangerous. But TikTok is more cautious than dangerous.
We're talking to Steve Knoll, marketing instructor at Madison College, about changes in social media usage and the apps themselves. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you check Facebook daily? Do you post a lot? Do you used to use it a lot more and now you've faded or even gotten out of it altogether? If you are on Twitter Are you getting off Twitter, given big changes there? Do you watch things on TikTok or YouTube, a very big social media platform we haven't talked about? Let us know how you relate to social media. Do you think it's bad for you, or do you worry about how it affects kids? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Steve Knoll, marketing instructor at Madison College, with us today to talk about how some people are starting to use social media differently, the rise and fall, or at least the decline, of various platforms. And you can join in with your own story. 800-642-1234. Do you use social media differently than you used to? More? Less? What's changed for you? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Miles joins us now in Green Bay. Miles, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Miles?
I just wanted to mention a change that I've kind of seen across social media, especially in places like YouTube, where I think it had become a really good place, and it still is a really good place to get good information and find like tutorials and stuff, and you know, how to do everything from fix your furnace to something else. But I feel like as we've seen more and more people go to it and try to find ways to like monetize their content, I feel like it's just getting harder and harder to find meaningful information. Like, I don't think you can find a video that's shorter than 10 minutes these days. And I'm guessing that all has to do with how it's monetized and how many ads they can serve you. And people that are making good content are burying 30 seconds of good information in a 10-minute video. And sometimes I just give up lately and go back to trying to find written sources and stuff like that.
Interesting, Miles. Thanks a lot for the call. Steve Miles using YouTube, like a lot of people, for fix-it advice and things like that. What are you watching for with changes at YouTube? There have been that you can see right on their front page lately.
Well, Miles absolutely nailed it with that one. Is TikTok, YouTube recently changed how people who are posting videos and monetizing it get paid. There's now a minimum amount of minutes per month as well as a minimum amount of videos they have to upload. And as a result, you're right, like a 1-minute tutorial has to be stretched out to a certain length just so they can monetize it. This is why I mentioned TikTok first. A lot of people have gravitated to TikTok for tutorial information because there's a lot of 30-second, 1-minute how to do things all over TikTok. That's actually a very, very popular use of that app. And it seems like that it's really supplanting YouTube as a place to go for quick little pieces of information. I myself, you know, have really stopped going to YouTube when I'm trying to, you know, learn a piece of software or something. And instead I'll look it up on TikTok and I find, you know, just as good information, but 30 seconds. I don't have to sit through the other 9.5 minutes of fluff to get what I need.
Thanks a lot for that call, Miles, at 800-642-1234. Christopher joins us now in Delavan. Christopher, hi.
Hi, how's it going? I just wanted to make the comment about, you hear a lot about these studies that show that people who, you know, spend time on social media apps, there's a, like, seems to be a relation with, like, depression and, you know, negative attitudes and feelings and stuff like that. And also, I just wanted to, you know, add on to what Miles was talking about with how, and it ties in my comments as well, that the monetization of these social media platforms, they don't, you know, their goal isn't to put like correct information forward or the concern about their users. It's just about, you know, how can we get the most ad shown? How can we generate the most money? And, you know, stuff like that is a good example.
Christopher, thanks a lot for the call. Steve, we have seen concern about, you know, people who end up engaging or spending a lot of time on social media may not feel great about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been studies about the psychological addiction of social media. It's definitely a real thing. But there's also people who spend, you know, hours and hours in front of the television. That's been going on for decades. And there really isn't any different than somebody, you know, spending, you know, just hours just watching TV shows left and right than there is on social media. They're all forms of you know, psychological addictions that are related to depression issues. So I think that, yeah, it's definitely a concern, but it's really, it's not anything we haven't seen before. I think all mediums will have some type of addictive quality to them. And, you know, that does kind of cross over into the other part about advertising as well. Ironically, it's the users of the social media who are demanding these ads, because nobody is willing to pay for a social media app. They have done many studies saying, would you pay $10 a month to get, you know, a social media app with no ads? And virtually no one will agree to do that. YouTube offers an ad-free subscription plan. I think it's about $15 a month, and very few people take advantage of that. So, you know, in one hand, you know, people say all these social media companies don't care. All they do is they exist to show ads. But on the other hand, it's really the fault of the consumer, because these social media companies are businesses. They have to make money somehow. And if consumers aren't willing to subscribe, the other business model is an advertising supported model. And overwhelmingly, consumers have said they prefer a social or an advertising social media business model infinitely more popular than a paid subscription model. And that's just how it's going to be until people start signing up into the few subscriptions that are out there, until they really start gaining traction. That's not going to change.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about the changing landscape of social media with Steve Knoll from Madison College. All right, Steve, you made me put it off till later. Let's talk about Twitter. Now, not one of the biggest networks out there compared to a Facebook, much smaller user base, but kind of outsized influence in some ways because of a lot of politics and media congregates there, I think. Just bought by Elon Musk with some other investors. We could spend 2 hours talking about it. What are you watching for at Twitter in particular, though?
I was going to say, Elon Musk bought Twitter. I hadn't heard about that. So yeah, you're right. Twitter is much smaller in terms of the user base, but what makes Twitter really unique is it's one of the few social media that really is a real-time medium. You know, something being posted on Twitter 20 minutes ago is considered yesterday's news for practical purposes. And that's really what makes Twitter unique, is the speed of how information travels, good or bad, because obviously we've seen that, you know, incorrect, false information can also travel at the speed of light on Twitter. So, but, you know, I think that the medium itself is very interesting. Now, what Elon Musk is doing is, that's been the real head scratcher, because all signs seem to point that he bought this on a whim and doesn't really have a business plan. And now maybe he does, and this is some brilliant behind the scenes marketing plan to keep attention on it. Wow, if that's true, he really is the most brilliant person ever. But so far, it really seems to be a bit of a dumpster fire. You know, it's they're changing things every day, sometimes every hour. They're announcing things and then rolling it back. You know, it's in one way, I find it really fascinating to watch, but it is kind of like watching, you know, a train wreck in slow motion. You know, the big question is, how long can it financially survive? If I was running paid advertising campaigns on Twitter, I absolutely would suspend them. It's too volatile. It's too unpredictable. And you can just see it, you know, as somebody who's been using Twitter for 10 years myself, Twitter, what it looks like this week is radically different than what it looked like last week, just in terms of what's being posted and what's not being posted. And it's interesting to watch, but at the same point too, it's definitely losing its relevance as a really good, you know, information tool. And that's just for me, but I think that's for a lot of people. So if advertisers are saying, we're a little scared about this, how long is it going to be before it kind of implodes? You know, or is there some secret idea behind the scenes that nobody knows about? That's literally the $44 billion question.
And Steve, just our last minute and a half or so, a lot of layoffs from Twitter and Meta slash Facebook.
Yep.
A lot of talented people out there now probably looking for work. Do you see maybe an opportunity for someone to come out of nowhere with a big new social media platform that we don't even know the name of today?
Possibly. You know, it all comes down to, you know, they can launch something new, like Be Real, that came out in the last year or so. The big question is, a lot of social media apps come out, they get popular for 6 months, and then once the newness wears off, they wither on the vine and die. So these social media apps, really, they're businesses. You have to have a business model to support it. And that's the thing, is people raise venture capital, they launch an app, and then they discover they don't have a way to sustain it, and the whole thing collapses. So will there be more apps? Yes, there will be. Is there going to be one that's going to become the next Twitter? I don't know about that. I really don't see, you know, a different business model other than subscription or ad supported that would even allow a new app like that to even exist. So unfortunately, I think we're stuck with what we have.
Steve, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Great. Thanks again, Rob.
That's Steve Knoll, marketing instructor at Madison College. He joined us to talk about changes in how people are using social media and what apps are gaining popularity. Still time for you to share your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page.